It's time for your week daily look at the NBA and your Charlotte Hornets. It's time for the Hive O'Clock Alarm.
How do you do? Oh, that sounds amazing.
How do you do, Hornets fans? This is the Hive O'Clock Alarm. I wish I had better news to report, but hopefully we can all come together and try to comfort one another somehow. The Hornets lose game 2, 115-103 in Miami. They go down 0-2 in the series. Kemba Walker, 29 points. Jefferson, 25 points down low, 7 rebounds. But the Hornets only 1 of 16 from beyond the arc. That doesn't sound anything like the Hornets that we got to know in the regular season. On the other side of the ball, Whiteside continued his hot, efficient shooting, 17 points, 13 rebounds, and Dwayne Wade going vintage all-star Dwayne Wade, 28 points, 8 assists, hitting some key ISO buckets at the end of the game. The hot shooting for Miami continued, 58% from the field to finish the game. They were 74% from the field in the first half, including hitting a lot more threes than people were used to seeing them hit. David, how much of this hot shooting on the part of the Miami Heat is on the Hornets' defense, and how much of it is just the Miami Heat going out there and knocking down tough shots?
I think it's a little bit more on Miami, man. They're just hitting all the shots. I mean, you know, some of it has to do with defense and what you give them, of course, and the flow of the game. But to see Miami, a team that doesn't shoot the three well, go out and do that two games in a row. I mean, good offense beats really good defense. Now, the defense hasn't been really good, but I don't know if that's the picture of either one of these teams, Doug. I mean, were you frustrated with the defense last night?
No, I don't think frustrated is the right word, because I think the defense itself was frustrated. They came out in this game and I thought applied more ball pressure, got to the point of attack somewhat better, at least early on in the game. They tampered down the number of blitzes on the pick and rolls that they did above the break. They kept those blitzes coming on the side pick and roll, and I don't think that that worked necessarily. But again, Miami did a great job of finding the open guy off of those blitzes, and there were several opportunities that the Hornets had to execute that particular play, and they didn't in some key moments. I tweeted, I noticed that Kemba Walker was going under that Dragic pick and roll, and I said, yeah, that's the right move. You go under Dragic because he's not a three-point shooter necessarily. You go under that pick and roll until he hits it twice. And then probably immediately after I tweeted that, he hit two, and then he hit three. And then all of a sudden, Dragic's 3 of 3 from beyond the arc, and you go, okay, I don't know if this is unfortunately, I don't know if this is the Charlotte Hornets' night in Miami. And I think back, you know, David, to all of those times in the season when the Hornets had a wide-open corner three, and you expected it to go in, and it clanked off the rim, and you were upset. It's like, how could you miss that? And then you look at these games, and the Miami Heat have those same opportunities and are just hitting it time after time after time. And, you know, that can be frustrating to watch, because you want to think that basketball is a really complex game, and that you have full, what do they call it? Not control, but you have full, not advocacy is not the right word either, but I'm close. Anyway, but you have some agency. That's the word. You have some agency in the process. You have some ability to influence the outcome. And then sometimes a team comes in and just goes full NBA Jam mode, and there's not a ton to do except hope that you can play a little better in the next game, and that the Heat shoot more like they did in the second half, where they shot 40% and 33% from beyond the arc. You hope they do that when they visit Charlotte.
Yeah, and on the flip side, you mentioned it, 1 for 16 for the Hornets from three, and that's just not how they've won this year. I mean, more often than not, they're hitting their outside shots, they're hitting the three-pointers, and when that part of the game goes away, look, they still scored 103 points. But you combine it with the other side when you let Miami, and not that they didn't let Miami shoot whatever it is, 70%, upwards of 70%, but you know, you'd hit one from 16 from three, and it's just going to be tough to mount anything when you've got the other team hitting with such consistency. And again, Doug, 9 assists, which is less, which they had 11 in the first game, they had 9 in the second game. We're going the wrong way with that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of casual fans probably came into this game thinking, okay, the Hornets shoot threes, and then they see 1 of 16. And I think even fans that have followed the team are confused. How could the team shoot 1 of 16? How could, you know, Marvin Williams play the way that Marvin Williams is playing? How could Frank Kaminsky struggle to really get even a shot attempt? He finally got one shot attempt up in this one, but that gives him one for the first two games. How could this happen? And it's really, I really have to give it up to the Miami Heat, because they came in with a game plan that, look, we're going to do everything we can to make the Charlotte Hornets uncomfortable and to take them out of their game plan. Spoelstra, they asked Spoelstra after the game, how are you taking away these three-pointers? And he said it's multiple efforts. It's not just stopping them on their first, you know, pick and roll or first dribble handoff, but multiple efforts. And he also said it's very coy. Like, of course, he's not going to tell you his exact game plan in the post game, but he sort of slyly says that's probably why you're seeing them drive past us. And that's just it. They're playing way up on the ball, and they're switching every Marvin Williams or Frank Kaminsky pick and roll. And David, how many times during the regular season did we see Frank Kaminsky and Marvin Williams get three-point opportunities off the pick and pop? It was yeah, nearly a majority of their three-point attempts, right? So if you switch every pick and roll, you take away the pick and pop. I mean, that's the pick and pop comes from the roll man's defender hedging and moving away from said roll man, who is Marvin Williams or Frank Kaminsky, leaving them open for a three. Okay, that's not open. So, I don't know what you really do other than what the Hornets did, which is in that instance, Kemba Walker has the quickness to move past his defender and get into the lane, or it leaves Al Jefferson open underneath. So the Hornets offensively are just taking advantage of what the Miami Heat are giving them. That's why you don't see the three-point attempts. That's why you see 1 of 16.
Yeah. And, you know, Doug, we said that you couldn't give up 41 points in the first quarter. Mission accomplished. Unfortunately, 43 points in the second quarter has generally the same effect, and you feel like that's kind of where the game got away from them, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, it's a large part of that is on Hassan Whiteside, who was 8 of 8 from the field in this one. I mean, he's having, you know, Shaquille O'Neal type efficiency numbers. Everything that he throws up, he's close to the rim, that helps, but everything that he's throwing up is going at the rim, or is going in. And Dwayne Wade, it just had, again, just a vintage game, hitting shot after shot, getting one-on-one opportunities at the elbow with Courtney Lee. And, you know, it's an ISO situation. There's no help for Courtney. And they've just Miami has a swagger. They have a confidence that comes, I think, from having a team full of versatile guys. Like, I think the Hornets are built to play a certain way, and if they don't play that way, it can take a lot of their confidence away. But Miami has a lot of two-way guys, a lot of versatile players, and they can play a couple of different ways. And so that's why you're seeing them, you know, have some of the success doing things that they haven't done all regular season, because I just think that's the way their team is built. And the Hornets have not found a way up to this point to play the type of game they want to play. And they've obviously made a defensive adjustment. And, you know, I don't know whether you think that defensive adjustment worked or not, the Miami Heat are scoring a lot of points. That's all I'll say. Yeah. We're going to talk more on tonight's show about what Steve Clifford had to say after the game. It was very interesting. We'll have the sound. We'll discuss that in depth. But, you know, it is a lot of like results versus process, but the results are tough to swallow.
Yeah, I'll just say, I think it's funny how sensitive people get when when a coach comes out and says, I know more about my team than you, which should be obvious. I mean, I get it on both sides. I look forward to hearing you guys break that down. But it's like, look, the guy just, you know, he's frustrated. And there were adjustments made. Look, you know, not particularly talking about defense, but the points in the paint, the Hornets win that battle. The rebounds, the Hornets win that battle. So there were steps made in this game. It's just that the Heat are getting everything looks easy for the Heat right now, and nothing looks easy for the Hornets. And certainly, you know, defense has something to do with that. But that's just the way this series is gone right now. The thing the Hornets have to do, Doug, they're coming back home. They have to take advantage. They have to be ready to play on Saturday because it really is do or die time right now. You get down 3-0 and nothing else matters, really.
All right, we haven't even mentioned the real loss in this game. Forget the score. Nick Batum going down, turned both of his ankles, but the one that they're concerned about, the left ankle that he originally hurt about a week and a half ago against Boston, that it is confirmed it's a left ankle sprain. And after the game, Steve Clifford saying he was very concerned about the ankle. Big Al Jefferson kind of letting it slip and saying, you know, he's no doctor, but he's been around the game a long time and he's seen what ankles look like when they may be okay and when they're not okay. And he said after the game that he didn't think that Nick Batum would be able to return to this series at all. And even though they have 2 days until their next game, these games are a little spread out, David. That's highly concerning, I think, not having Nick Batum, who is, as we've mentioned time after time, one of the few guys on this team that can go out and even though he struggled in this game, he can go out and get a shot and make it.
Yeah, pretty crushing blow right there. And I think Al was right there when Nick went down, if I recall correctly. He saw it and didn't think it looked good, and it certainly didn't look good, but that's a huge blow to the Hornets. It seems like every time they get into the playoffs or get somewhere with meaning, something like that happens, not to play, you know, Debbie Downer or woe is me. But that's just a tough one to swallow when it's going like that and you lose the guy that is so important for creation and everything else, especially at home. You were looking forward to see him go. So I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see what happens, Doug.
Well, let me try to spin this, okay? If you'll bear with me, let me just try to spin this, okay? You've got Kemba Walker playing his A game. You've got Al Jefferson playing his A game, especially with what Miami's doing. It opens up Al Jefferson one-on-one opportunities with Hassan Whiteside, and he took full advantage last night. I mean, just doing anything he wanted to do. Yeah, vintage Al Jefferson, vintage Dwayne Wade. It was crazy, okay? So you've got that going on. So if that continues offensively, you can sustain not having Nick Batum if those two continue to perform at the level they perform at. And I think, you know, this forces the Hornets to do something a little differently with their rotations. It gives, I think, the team an opportunity to go back to the drawing board. And I think, you know, when you take two losses like this, even if you fully believe in the game plan that was initially set out, I just think you have to at least entertain. And after the game, Clifford said that he would, you know, go back and look at the tape. And if a change needed to be made, it would be made. But if Batum can't play for the rest of this series, then it forces the Hornets' hand. And we've seen teams and players time after time step up in these kind of situations. Dellavedova, the most recent example of that last year when Kyrie Irving went down, Dellavedova became a star for the Cavaliers. So, you know, you hope that whoever ends up taking this opportunity, whether it be Troy Daniels or Jeremy Lamb or Spencer Hawes, to get into this rotation, that they, you know, use it to the full advantage and play better than most people will give them credit for. That's all you can hope for.
Yeah, and at least they're coming back home, right? So some of those guys may feel a little more comfortable in that scenario, but I kind of had the same thought as you, not that, you know, oh, it's okay, there's nothing to worry about, but it's almost like, yeah, they, you know, it forces you to do something, take a look at somebody else, and maybe that's what you need. You got to change something up now, right? I mean, you can't wait too much longer. So whether or not it was forced or not, you're going to see some new faces. I think at least for extended minutes on the court, do you lean Lamb at this point? I mean, we haven't seen him that much.
It's tough, right? Because, I mean, Lamb, at least Troy Daniels has, he was given a few minutes in game one, but Lamb, I was talking with a fellow at the Hive writer, Austin Peters, last night, and the thing with Lamb is he hurts you a little bit on both sides of the ball. And he's a little indecisive on offense and on defense. He can be inattentive. And anything that you do on the basketball court that starts with the prefix N is usually bad and not something that Steve Clifford enjoys dealing with. So I think that you could see some Troy Daniels early on, and that could, you know, he's a guy that doesn't need a lot of space, doesn't need a pick and pop, can move around easily on the court and get an open look from three. So that could, you know, unleash the floodgates. And we haven't talked about Marvin Williams, who his confidence looks completely shook. Hopefully 2 days off, you get back home, you get at a place that's more comfortable, bet rims that you're used to knocking down shots on. Maybe that helps Marvin Williams. There are, I think, this series in my mind is not over. There are opportunities for the Hornets to figure this thing out. They started to figure some things out, as you said, in the rebounding and other areas. I don't think this series is over. David, we'll close out. Do you think this series is over?
No, that doesn't have the feeling like it did a few years ago, but they got to start hitting shots. I mean, that's the one thing you can take away, right? They really haven't hit. They haven't hit yet. So you put that in the mix with all the adjustments they've been making, and yeah, they're still in it, but it's got to happen.
Yeah, man, I know we need to wrap, but I think that's an interesting point, and something I think that gets lost when we say, like when I say and you say the Hornets need to hit shots, it's not, I don't think we're necessarily saying the offense is playing poorly, because it's not, but
right.
I think there's a confidence thing. I think the Hornets have fed defensively off their ability to make shots offensively, and their identity is making shots. And when you take away a team's identity, you shake them, I think, in every facet of the game. So, and I think that's what Miami's game plan was. Let's make these guys play a different game than they played all season. Let's make them extremely uncomfortable. We have the guys to do that. And that's what, I don't think they need more points. I just think they need to see the ball go through the basket and become more comfortable.
Yeah, and last thing, Doug, they're still driving. They're shooting 33 free throws last night, hitting almost 80%. So, you know, they're trying to manufacture those points. You're right. They just need to see a couple of those go in from long range, and maybe that will help the overall confidence and make a few more go in. But it feels like they're starting to gather things and build towards something. They just really need to hit some outside shots.
All right, we're going to talk more about this game in depth on Hive Talk Live Thursdays, brought to you by ESPN, 7:30 tonight, 6 o'clock p.m. Justin Thomas will be joining me. Follow us on Twitter at Hive Talk Live. We'll have more information about who will be joining us. We've got some big guest announcements again. Thank you so much for listening, and I think the silver linings are there, folks. I think they are there. Keep the faith. All hail the teal and purple.